This is a production of Cornell University.
Breeden? Brown? Chopra? Desai? Adam Gitlin? Ross Gitlin? Goldberg? Gurajani?
Yes.
Hoffman? Kay? Okay. Kerr. Lee.
Here.
Miller. Miller. Mueller. Muir. Nicoletti. Pinkney. Rao. Gumpo?
Here.
Smith?
Here.
Solman?
Here.
Trefison?
Here.
Wolford?
Here.
Katerian?
Here. Moving on to the next part of the open microphone. If there's someone in the audience that would like to talk on the subject, please feel free to be dropped in the chat. That's all right. Moving on to the third section announcement.
Rather than just a few that represent. So we're really excited about that. There's more things going on. If you want to hear about them, feel free to come ask.
So yesterday, the UA coaching leadership meeting met for 2 hours discussing whether or not to change the way students pipeline sexual harassment cases. For those of you who don't know, pipeline is a fellow of civil rights and everything for equality between women. So pipeline sexual harassment cases, to keep it within the JA system, we're moving forward to 6.4, which is aligned with the university code dealing with sexual harassment cases where the faculty or staff is being accused. So currently, students, they're accused of sexual harassment, go through JA, but under a letter proposed by the Obama administration in April, we have to change our code and everything around a little bit. So we are discussing whether or not to revamp the JA Title IX sexual harassment hearing or everything, or just move it over to the faculty. So that's pretty much it.
The hub is moving along. I think we'll have more concrete, I guess, things to talk about after our next publishing meeting, which is after Thanksgiving break, and I'll be sure to make you an announcement about that then. I wanted to talk about the Waco Thanksgiving dinner. As you know, the FAA is helping to put on dinner on Sunday to cook for the Waco residents that may not be able to hold Thanksgiving themselves due to flooding earlier in September. I'm going and bringing some friends from 599 Mags in my car. I know that I'm going to as well, so we'll be able to bring some FAA members. So if you're interested in coming, even if you haven't volunteered, please stay after me. Email, I'll be able to drive up to there, and I'd love to have you there as well. I would also just like to have a shout out to members of our audience. The members of the Ithaca College FGA are here today. We're looking at the Cornell Cafe. We're going to reciprocate and go back to that. You can stand up if you want. But we just wanted to thank you guys all for coming.
Hi everyone, we are going to have a small change of plans on the meeting after Thanksgiving. We're not going to be meeting in the memorial room. We're going to be meeting in, I'm going to be in the Silver Eagle also. But for our December 1st meeting, that's technically our last meeting, we'll be meeting in the biotech building. And because you can't get enough of SA, everyone's very distressed about that. Very far. Because you can't get enough FA, we have scheduled an additional FA meeting that Friday in case we go over, because we have a lot to cover, including the entire Byron budget, the elections rules, a lot of resolutions that are culminating, other stuff. So that's going to be on Friday, December 2nd, the following day, 4:30 to 6:30. And that will be in Rockefeller at 1:32. It's not definite that that's going to happen, but it's very likely. So put that on your calendars. If you have any questions, let me know.
And we'll have to get back to you as well. So while we wait, President Gordon and Dean Hubble will be presenting to us at 5:15. We're going to move on to the business of the day. The first is appropriation special project decision.
Okay, so I guess we're going to do the two special projects first, and then we'll move on to the violence funding. So the Appropriations Committee actually heard the WEGO special project request not this past Monday, but a week and a half ago. And weren't able to hear it last week because of our meeting with CAPSU. So the FA is one of, I think, six or seven organizations that's sponsoring this WEGO Thanksgiving dinner. And the Appropriations Committee grant are voted by 10-0 to 1 vote to Institute grant $889.07 for the special project funding to the Owego Thanksgiving Dinner, which will cover various food and supplies for the 250 families that are going to be coming. So in terms of how special projects work, if it's an amount between $250 and $1,500, it need only pass the Appropriations Committee. However, the General Assembly is vetoed by a two-thirds vote. Amounts over $1,500 can be and have to be approved by the SA. So if there's anyone that doesn't object or wants to ask a question,
is there anyone that wants to be able to speak?
Was first funded through Byline Funding in the previous funding cycle. They were funded at $1 per student. They requested $1.50 for the next process, so desired increase is 50 cents. Alternative break is one of two public service center programs that the student activity fee sponsors. The other one being Community Partnership Board. An alternative break offers service-based spring break trips to a number of different students, and that amount has been increasing over time. But the last trip was around 150, but there are a lot more demand on those trips than they can accommodate. And so they asked for this 50 cent increase because they wanted not only increase the size of the New York City trip, there were also additional costs for the New York City trip, and as well as they'd like to add new trips, for instance, one to Florida, because they have so much demand and not enough space to fill all of that demand. So committee members, agreed that alternative break is a great program, but they were concerned with the balance of student activity fee subsidy versus trip fee and how much individuals were paying for those trips. And so the committee sought to basically take that into consideration and not give the full amount so that the organization could use trip fee to attain whatever further expansion they wanted to. In addition, some found that the New York City play that they were taking their participants on was wasteful, and the group actually said that they are not going to continue that. Some people said that the food was extraneous or too much, but the group kind of clarified that the food actually wasn't really that wasteful, really only $5 at most to participate per day. So that was a good thing that they cleared up. And trip fees have been increasing over time, but I think the committee still felt that although trip fees have been increasing, they should still play a substantial part in the expansion, and that every student should be subsidizing alternative breaks to fund the entire expansion. So the committee voted 135, I voted 7 to 6 to 0. And I can take questions.
Is there
side of it, and one of the
President of Outreach today?
Asking the entire UPS, let's assume that it's 225, how do we know where that money is going to if we don't have the budget with LAL, NTAC, and DSU into it?
I'm going to with a group of alums and parents in the Boston area last evening. And they were saying, you know, how are things going? And I was talking about some difficult issues that we faced. And I was describing the SA, the GPSA, the DA, the UA, vaccine Senate interactions. And it's interesting how many people are not aware outside of the university that such a thing as the ESA exists and all the things you do. And I said, you know, it's not a matter of whether we agree on everything. And I talked about some issues where, you know, we change certain things based on SA input, other ones where we didn't. I thought it might be of interest if you think it's worthwhile to either through the student elected trustees or directly to sometime send some sort of an update or reminder either to the Alumni Association or also to the parents. I think people are proud of the fact that there is a really active self-governance organization. And if you think it's not necessary, don't do it. But I thought that they were, some of them were surprised and thrilled that there is such a thing. And so just want to bring that observation. And of course, I'm real proud of what you guys did. So. Okay, I can feel my fingers and stuff now, so I'm all ready.
So, do you want to check that site? We have a lot of questions on that, so whichever, however you want to structure.
Answer questions.
Okay, so the first is from community members from CASU, Sharon and White. All right. So, anyone that has any kind of conversations, you can also feel free to come to the table.
My name is Wei Yang. I'm a sophomore representing Cornell Asian Pacific Islander Student Union, also known as CASU. That is the umbrella org for the Southern Trust Asian and Asian American affiliated student organizations on campus. So as the facilitator for both the student organizations and the student individuals within the Asian and Asian American community, we believe that we've been trying very hard to address some of the very relevant and important issues for the community. A lot of the individuals within the Asian Asian American community feel that they cannot find enough support, both in terms of mental health and academic support, in this very big on campus. So we do a lot of one-on-one outreach to actually talk to those students, individuals who are having problems and can't really find a safe space to open up the discussion. There's a concern with over-programming for student organizations within the Asian Asian American community. That's why we bring all the student organizations together to collaborate with each other and put on one of the biggest events on campus, that is Asian Night every spring. So we do believe we've been doing a lot of work in the past few years that address some of the revenue issues. And that's why we've been hearing a rapidly growing amount from the student body agency for us to expand our services. And to find the financial support for that extension, we applied for bilateral in the cycle, or was rejected. We do understand the constraints on the student activity fees, and we don't believe that supporting student diversity on campus should solely be students' responsibility. So I guess what I'm asking here is that in terms of the administration, is there any further plan to support minority students and campus diversity in financial needs? And also other initiatives such as a better bias response protocol and better diversity curriculum.
So, first of all, congratulations on what you guys have been doing. I have been aware of it, and Vice President Murphy has mentioned to me. And we talked about this a little bit in the last student leaders meeting that we have with SA President and other student leaders. Of course, you'll understand that I don't want to insert myself in the process of decisions in ESA. In terms of the larger issues that you're raising, we're very well aware that we need to do more in terms of the support functions. We have put, even in the recession, very substantial new resources into those areas. I know that Dean Hubble and Vice President Murphy have talked about the additional positions that have been funded and into which people have been hired in the general area. Forgive me for turning my back to you. But maybe when I yield the microphone, maybe Dean Hubble can remind us of those positions. We've reorganized the University Council and beginning to have meetings with those additional people. space in 626 Thurston to set things up. I think there's a lot of solid evidence that more funding has been spent. That's not to say that we have achieved all the goals. Obviously, we haven't. We do think we haven't. It's your judgment that we make that right. I'm glad to work with Rudy and Hummel and Vice President Murphy to continue to reach in the right direction for things that have to be done. And I'm just closing in by saying that, of course, I think the decisions by my line of funding have to be delegated to the student organization. If you have one more of your patients, can you remind us about those positions that were funded and how you're working with them? Just getting this to reorganize now.
Well, you may know this already, but we did open 626. We spent about $1.5 million renovating the space. And in the process, we also created two new organizations that were intended to support our diversity community. And one is OABI, that's the Office of Academic Diversity Initiatives. A.T. Miller came to the University of Michigan to lead that group. Renee Alexander, of course, was recruited to become our new Associate Dean of Students for what's being called SDDI, Student Development Diversity Initiatives. We get all these acronyms, you know. And we co-located the Asian American Student Center, the LGBT Resource Center, the new SDDI Center, the Alumni Student Mentoring Program, and what am I forgetting? Alana. Right. Alana's here too. Alana actually has space in both places for the time being. So I, for one, am incredibly supportive of anything we can do to assist you and CAPSU and the student community at large in furthering and extending the support that you enjoy on campus. As you know, it's been a very stringent financial environment the last 3 years. So we've worked very hard, and we have made progress in spite of this financial stringency. I can certainly assure you that I'll do everything I can to advocate for you and your needs. And, of course, I have wonderful relationships with the alumni who support your organization, and I know they're right with us as well.
Do you think that Natalie would be acceptable to you if and only if maybe we continue to talk about this with the student leader meetings that we have, because Natalie did bring that issue to that meeting in a general sense, what was it, a month ago, less than a month ago, something like that. And that meeting consists of the SA president, GPSA president, Penn L and IFC, student trustees, the Daily Sun editor in chief, a multicultural street letter, maybe there's one other one. Somebody else knows. Anyway, we'll keep on discussing it. So I appreciate it. Days ago, before yesterday, I'm pretty sure it was. their immediate supervisors, the vice presidents, and they report both provosts, the incoming provost of the medical school, and the provost on campus. I'm not ready today to tell you exactly where all the metrics are, but they're very far-reaching and touch undergraduates, graduates, professional students, staff, and faculty. And so keep in my face about that. Keep asking me. Stuff is evolving. We're doing it right now. And we should have something to share more generally soon. It's a very, very important question. And the reason it's taking us a little time is that we're trying to do it the thoughtful way so that there's not just a sort of general statement of support, but things that are focused and customized, if I can use that word, for the different parts of the university community. And obviously, the sort of things that have to be done are much different in the different constituencies on campus. And, you know, my own personal view, to go beyond the general open doors, open hearts, open minds, is that Fort Sill University is not hitting some American goal of what the different representations are on campus. I think it's a recognition that any organization works better if it's a diverse organization, that it's actually an issue of excellence and quality. And so, of course, some of the accountability will likely be related to our success in recruiting and retaining a very diverse campus community of students, faculty, staff across many dimensions of diversity. But I hope that the campus will agree with the concept that the actual realization that we all have to come to an agreement is that organizations are better when they're more diverse. So that will take us through the exercise of just thinking about the composition of the campus, which of course is very important, to thinking about things like our college has brought up about climate and support on campus for people's success and self-actualization. And so we're trying to think about it in a larger way. And keep asking, you don't have to wait until the next SA meeting. If you don't hear anything right after Thanksgiving, write me a note, and I'll try to keep you in touch with it. Let me just pick up this other venue. Are we going to meet again on that meeting before the end of the year, or is this it for this meeting? No, this meeting. Okay. And our leader meeting, we have one or two more, right? Okay. I'll try to bring something to that meeting. If you don't go to the meeting, you're a little bit off, but I'll bring it to the meeting. And I'll try to keep that moving. And you can talk to me about this if you would. A very good question. Thank you. Talking about that. members of the state legislature in the next very few days. Now, that's not to say it will be successful, but I completely agree with a larger societal issue. While this happening or not happening, as it will turn out, you're asking a tougher question, and that is what can we do here? As you're probably aware, in the last 3 years, we've expanded financially more than double at the university, and are trying to think about all the different dimensions of students who need financial aid, by which I mean students from the families of the least means, students from the so-called middle class that are changing their ability to deal with an expensive situation like Cornell because of the recession, because people are out of work and so on. And one of the areas that we're also talking about is international students, and as a different category, obviously a very important category, undocumented students. There's a lot of constraints on the money, as you know, as Dean Hubble mentioned. Nonetheless, we're thinking very actively about what can be done. Some things cannot be done with federal sources of money, as you're aware. It's conceivable that we can do things through other sources. And I guess I don't want to promise you something and then not deliver it, but I personally am looking into what other things may be possible. I wish I could sit here today and tell you that I had an answer in mind. The question about diversity and support and accountability, we're quite hard on the line thinking about that. In terms of the specific pointed question you're asking me, and that is, how can we find a way to supply more aid for students who don't qualify for the major federal programs? I don't know the answer to that yet, but I'm aware of it, and I'm committed to trying to find some way, and I'm in contact with people inside and outside the university. I'm trying to think about what a time frame is. Write me a note to my email just to remind me how I can contact you. And I will talk with Vice President for Government and Community Relations, Mr. Steve Johnson, who's the one working with me on all of these efforts, both in New York City, nationally, in New York State. And I'll see if I can get, in short order, probably after Thanksgiving, some summary of the things that we're doing that you can share openly and everything, just to make sure that it's done in a systematic way. And then we'll see where we go. This is a very difficult problem, as you know. And then on the last issue, which is also very important about the mental health support and so on, of course, anybody on the campus is eligible for the support that we give. But I understand, although our family wasn't undocumented, I'm a first-generation American, and no one teeny bit, 0.1% of what you're talking about. So I hope that we can move down this area together. It would really be fabulous if New York would pass the New York version of the Dream Act. And I'm assuming that you and your colleagues are working politically to see if that can happen. I know that it's also unnerving how public someone wants to be about this. And so let's send me a note. I'll get with Vice President Johnson in the next few days, probably not this week. And then I'll get some summary of what's going on, share it over, and we'll stay in contact about it. It's good to meet you. Yeah, me too.
Hi, Brother Swarm. Thanks for coming. I have a question about Tim's favorite topic, which is tuition. And I just kind of had two questions about it. First off, talking about the state tuition, I know that a lot of people have been wondering, as the New York State's contributions to the school decrease, are we going to see tuition increases across the board, or is this in order to counteract the lesser funds that we're getting from the state? And the second question, which will probably take a little bit more time, is what can we do to help the middle class? Right now, I do not receive financial aid. My brother just started college at Georgia Tech, and honestly, we're hurting. It's really hard to pay for the school. And, it's hard when you can't really afford it, taking out a lot of loans to be here, and you don't qualify for financial aid. So I was wondering, what, from the university's perspective, are you doing to work for the middle class? Doesn't qualify for financial aid, but also cannot afford to go to school.
Yeah. As I hope you know from my actions the last 5 years, this is the number one topic of concern to me. It took me over 2 decades to pay my loans off. I know exactly what you're talking about. Everybody is being helped to some extent by the caps we put on indebtedness, but still, it's an enormous amount of money. And the family has more than one student in school, and they're expensive schools. It's a huge burden. So I hope you know that I absolutely agree with you, and that's a big issue for me. There's no way to overemphasize how much effort you put into finding every possible dollar you want to financial aid. The middle class is having even a worse time now than normally because of the recession. And so what we've done so far is limiting the indebtedness and then doing the best we can to raise more money to make even more vigorous student financial aid. The amount of the budget that goes to student financial aid has gone up enormously, far beyond the degree that the tuition has gone up because we've made a generous program. So I can't give you a glib answer about the middle class because of the fact that we reach an asymptote of how much money we can spend. I'm out working on philanthropic sources of funding very, very vigorously. It's part of what I was doing yesterday in Boston. And talk about that, hear me talk, it's always the top, either the top thing I talk about or the second thing, having faculty renewals, the other issue. So the specific answers are, we're going to keep raising money for it, we're going to keep doing the best we can move that degree of help to as many students as possible. The other issue about the tuition setting, as I know you're aware, the tuition for contract colleges has been increased by the same dollar amount, which ends up being a much bigger percentage amount because it's a low number of state students. The chance to comment on the tuition will be coming soon by this body, by the student elected trustees in trustees meetings. I don't have any knowledge yet about what that's going to look like. But what you've seen so far, and it's been already going to the third year with this austerity and reduced state support, has been to keep the dollar amount the same on both sides and not to have an additional vigorous increase related to a reduction in state funding. So stay tuned. We'll very soon be talking about that over the next several weeks. And you have a representative who will be privy to those discussions, and we'll be open about it soon. The other question you asked is a harder question about the middle class, a very tough question, and we'll keep working on it. We have had actually a lot of success in fundraising so far, but the need is so great, and the size of the student body in Cornell is so great, and the tuition is so high, that we haven't had enough funds to affect families like yours, except for the gap in indebtedness that I mentioned. So we'll keep working on it. Appreciate the question.
And then, Tony, do you have time for one more question?
Yeah, one more.
Okay, Representative
Gibson. Well, thank you, President Ford, for coming. Just a quick question. A lot of art and science students and students throughout the university are very excited about the new humanities building. And I was just wondering what the progress is in terms of fundraising for it.
We're a little over 75% of the way there, which is really good news. I'm very optimistic that we're going to go the distance on this very soon. As soon as we get there, of course, we'll let everybody know. I've been hugely encouraged by the response of the Cornell community, the alumni community, and the friends of Cornell, that they've helped us already raise a little over three-fourths of the $61 million. It's very heartening how people recognize how important the humanities are. And this is the first project, capital project, to learn the humanities since 1905. The campus is open, so it was built. So it's interesting that we have had very, very vigorous response to the student financial aid issue. We've had vigorous response to the faculty renewal and vigorous response to this particular capital project. And, I always like to say this in public because it's true, that the Cornell philanthropic community, even during the recession, has been enormously generous at the annual fund, which is the discretionary pool that we have, we'll give us funds and allow us to use it as we think best. A lot of those monies put into the play has gone up each year of the recession, which is astounding to think about. So each year of the recession, Cornell family is given more more money in this month. So very optimistic that that will occur. And I just can't say exactly when we'll be done, but we'll be closing in the poll right now. Thanks for letting me come. I really appreciate it.
Just to follow up, I know last time there were community members and representatives that did have a chance to ask you a question, and I emailed them to you and you thoughtfully sent responses back. Can we do that again?
Of course. Always. Always. And of course, people don't have to wait for us. People are always just be patient with my responses because of the amount of email I get. But yeah, absolutely.
Okay, great. So if I come to an average right now, you can get that question. Go up to him, tell your question, and I'll be sure to email you directly.
That'll be great.
Okay. I'll also put together a little update to send to alumni and anyone who can see fit about the students.
Okay. Definitely. If you don't mind sharing it with me, I'll get it out to everyone.
Yeah.
That would be nice. Thanks a lot. You're welcome.
I don't think this is going to go to waste, but I can't tell you exactly the specific expenditures. But
but doing a cost benefit analysis, it would seem much greater benefit to do this now.
I just want to echo Vice President Devine's big legs sentiment on this and just say it in a couple different words. Mostly that we've been asked in the last few weeks to consider to what extent we want to allocate student resources to support the multicultural community, to support cultural programming, to support independent cultural programming by these umbrella organizations. And this is the way to do it, and I agree with Vice President Letty that there really is not time to waste on this, and we can certainly discuss all of the details of the UPMs in the future if we had a call session.
I think just one thing that we did want to echo that Adam and Letty already spoke about was that we are definitely seeing that at least that $1.50 would be going towards that UPF. We, as alumni, have agreed to increase, you know, to add upon that money to put towards the UPF, but that $1.50 would go specifically to the UPF, and we have all decided that already. That's already something that has been, you know, completely agreed upon by the entire organization. So just saying that this is something that's up in the air, or something that may or may not happen, is not true. This $1.50 at least will go towards UPF, and it will most likely, more than likely, be more than that.
So if there's been a call to question,
at first a little bit slow to get back to us, but now Hazel Hall, the housekeeping manager, I think that's her title, is going to get back up after Thanksgiving. She remembers, she recalls 3 years ago that they had made progress on the resolution very similar to it, and she just was not very sure why the garbage can had not been placed on her campus yet. So this resolution just says that the ESA endorses the implementation of garbage cans, not doing anything else but that. mean, in my opinion, this is really important to North Campus and just to the community in general. You know, we want North Campus to look presentable and, you know, it's just cost-benefit analysis here a little bit. I think the benefits of, you know, trash cans on North Campus would outweigh the, you know, at most $1,800 cost, maybe a couple of rearranged routes, but honestly, I think this is important to North Campus.
I do, you know, as a member of the Appropriations Committee, I do remember
come to us. We've asked them specifically about the accessibility of their events, particularly those that we know are held on the fifth floor of Willis Trade Hall. But I don't think it's an inconsistency to say that the appropriations committee has considered these facets when reviewing an application. And I think kind of what the sentiment that we're getting across is that, you know, we're not penalizing groups that have these events in these situations, but groups that we have specifically pointed out to that, like, you know, students have requested to us that you move your events because of the accessibility of them, and if they continue to not comply, that's something that the Appropriations Committee has the power to include in a reflection of their allocation, either in current or in future funding.
Thank you. Do you have a follow-up question?
Okay.
Let's connect up to this and maybe talk more about network on the different work.
And there's a reason we didn't include the attending fee stipulation in this resolution.
Okay, moving on to Representative Kirk. You have 1 minute.
So my question is for Talia. Are you hoping to get emails back from organizations if they already know they're accessible? Like if they know that they're in venues that are already accessible? Like what exactly are you hoping to hear back from?
So, I mean, we had discussed putting, like, a stipulation in the email saying, please respond back, but decided against that because it gets tricky in terms of what we would do if we didn't hear back from groups in terms of whether we could just assume they hadn't opened it or not. So it's not necessarily, honestly, I don't think we're expecting a response back in terms of them emailing us. What we're hoping is that they'll just use this information and then contact disability services if there's any doubt in terms of whether their events or meetings are accessible. So that's what we're expecting.
The other thing I just want to ask is this now the right time, as opposed to the beginning of next semester, when events are being planned? Being counted because there's not many events are being planned.
Right. I mean, I guess how we view it is kind of the sooner the better. And we also know that a lot of organizations are picking meeting spots and events are planning events currently for next semester. So we'd like to give them notice now before they plan for next semester.
All right, so that's the end of the speaking list for the resolution. Actually, we can't vote on it today, and I'm not going to motion it for the day just because there are a lot of wording that we want to take care of before you can accept out. So if you guys could talk to the vice president of PR, just make sure that all the wording is correct before you can accept out, that will have a back to that same meeting, and then we'll just have them be able to vote on it. So thank you guys so much for presenting. We really appreciate it.
So this resolution is to commemorate the Transgender Day of Remembrance, which is on November 20th. Every year there are upwards of 15 people killed or murdered because prejudice-related crimes were being transgendered. And I think this is a really good way for the student assembly to recognize that. And yeah, I'll go ahead.
Great. Is there anyone else in the resolution? Is there anyone else who would like to speak on it? Representative Gomez?
Not particularly. I just wanted to keep it relevant to us.
Okay, so there's been a call and question, and then there's a second. Okay, there is a second. All right, seeing none, we're going to vote on this resolution. There's been a call for affirmation, and there's a second. All right, seeing none, we're passing resolution number 27 unanimously, commemoration for Trip of the Day of Remembrance. Thank you guys so much. We're now moving into the executive session.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.